It's important to remember we're part of a wider body of people than the group we are here. We're celebrating the company we are. But we're part of the worldwide church. And within the family of the worldwide church, we affiliate ourselves to the Baptist Union of Great Britain. And we're one of a few thousand churches that are affiliated together around the country. So Baptist Union of Great Britain, it's called BUGBY. So that's how it's announced. And there's a general secretary of someone who sort of oversees the work in its entirety. And we're just in that process of change. A few weeks ago, you might have heard me mention that. But Jonathan Edwards has been in post for about 8 years. And he's just coming to an end these next few weeks. And it's being taken over with a new lady's taking the position, a lady called Lynn Green. And she starts in September. Well, Jonathan has, I don't know whether he's actually visited the church here in recent times, but I know Jonathan myself through, he was my regional minister when I was in Somerset. And he came into post with a challenge for the churches, and in May he gave his final address to the National Assembly, or the Annual Assembly. And he equally spoke about three things, and he said as he left position, he wanted to give thanks for his privilege to serve the churches as he has, and he said to all the churches, leaves us with three challenges, and these are to move forward in prayer, to move forward in mission, and to move forward in gracious partnership. So we're going to look at all those three those three headings, and this morning, this first one, to move forward in prayer. When I say the word prayer, it's not a neutral word. It creates all sorts of people can get excited about prayer, or can start feeling guilty when you say that word. Can feel it, sort of an immense sense of privilege that it's something that's there before us. But prayer, by just using and uttering that word prayer, isn't something that's neutral. It creates an effect upon us. And we saw earlier that our command is that, you know, to pray and to be constant and not to give up praying. And so our encouragement, we need to encourage each other, and Jonathan was encouraging us, that as we look to move forward in prayer, it's not a neutral word. It's a word that we should be enthusing and enlivening us when we talk about prayer. Why pray? That's a question. Again, you know, I've just said what I said. But people come back and say, look, God knows everything. He knows the past, the present, the future. What's the point of prayer? Why pray? So that's a question. And it's a question we're going to start with. I'm embracing it. I'm not going to answer it at this moment in time. I'm embracing it, but allowing us not to sort of switch off with that question. That may be a question you're asking me, why pray? We can hold it. We'll hold that question. We'll keep walking and travelling, moving forward in prayer, even with that question, why pray? other experiences of prayer is that we have been faithful in prayer, but we felt let down by prayer. That prayer, our prayers may not have been answered. God stayed silent. And actually, it caused and brings a hurt. And actually, we stop ourselves from being vulnerable. We don't want to be hurt. And so we actually close off and stop being a people of prayer as we're called to do. Because it's hurt. We've been hurt in our prayer life. And I'm sure some of that will resonate. It's imperative to look at prayer. Yes, because what we did earlier. But prayer is God's idea. We can't ever say enough about prayer. The beginning of Luke 18, this is where we actually read the words. Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and never give up. Prayer has to be the number one topic that we look at. Talking about it this morning is, I think, hopefully something to get us out of a rut, or maybe more appropriate for ourselves as we sort of drive down and get out of the tram lines. You can get stuck in the tram lines, can't you, in the car, those car drivers, and you can be like a tram yourself. Get stuck out the rut, get out the tram lines. Going to look at different forms of prayer, because it is such a multifaceted topic. I think I'm only going to look at two, because if I looked at a lot more, I'll mention a few others, but I think we'll all be sort of expiring by the time I got to the end of it all, because there's just so many facets of prayer. But to look at two in more depth, the first one is the prayer of conversion. The prayer of conversion. Yes, this is a prayer. It's a prayer that's uttered for the first time for someone becoming a Christian. But it's a prayer that we can and must utter each and every day to put ourselves right with God. It's a prayer of turning our hearts and our minds once again to God. It's an ongoing prayer. And Mavis was reading it to us in the story of the Pharisee and the tax collector. And Jesus tells us in that story that the tax collector went home justified before God. And this is how he prayed. He stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but he beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. So what we see is this tax collector, he was sorry. He would not look to heaven. He was sorry. He beat his breast. He asked for mercy. Mercy, something that can be given or it can be withheld. The tax collector asked. He acknowledged and declared openly that he was a sinner. And this prayer, the picture of this man, is a window for ourselves. We need to approach God, being sorry, asking for mercy, declaring and knowing our knowledge that we are sinners. At times we must have got this wrong in the wider world, because so often folk look in and see a church and say, I can't go to church because that's for good people. I'm sure you've heard it said. I've heard it said many times. Quite the opposite. Church is for us, and it's for those that openly declare that we are sinners. Conversion prayer is an ever-present prayer. It reminds us, and this is the exciting thing, it reminds us that we are only ever a single prayer from being in the right relationship with our Lord God. A single prayer from being in that right relationship. As we sincerely utter the conversion prayer, God hears that prayer and we will be justified and will be put right with God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The conversion prayer. Often we can be discouraged in prayer. I touched on that already. We've not seen the signs of God at work. In the Bible, we see a passage for those that are discouraged in prayer. And it was written to the Hebrews, and we started our service with it. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. It's a prayer that reminds us to come with confidence. So often discouragement causes us to falter, to hide away. The Hebrew Christians then, as we are today, are urged to come with confidence. We're reminded that in our prayer, we're being met by God's grace. We will be met by His grace. The promise, and God's promise, is that grace will come in our time of need. This is the need that God sees, that God knows as and when we need it. This grace is given to us in our prayers. God is never too late, never too early, always just on time. Those of us discouraged, join in this prayer of the Hebrew Christians. Approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. I said the list of prayers or facets of prayer goes on. There's the prayer of commitment, praying and giving ourselves and commitment and dedicating our lives to God's purposes. There's prayer of forgiveness. Jesus on the cross declared, Father, forgive them for those who do not know what they're doing. Alongside, he gave the teaching, which we shared earlier, of the Lord's Prayer. Pictures of this prayer of forgiveness. The prayer of faith. We come, and we're actually, in a sense, the prayer of faith is the acting out of the prayer that we've been chatting about, how we can sometimes fall away. We come to this place and we utter a prayer of faith. Prayer of intercession. So important when we gather as God's people to be interceding. And here and now, this very moment, our Lord Jesus is interceding on our behalf. He's bringing you and me before the Father in prayer, in intercession. The prayer of intercession is another facet of prayer. There's covenant praying, which is again separate. Jesus tells us, I tell you that if two of you agree on earth about anything you ask for, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. So there's the place of covenant praying, of praying together in twos and threes. And also the Bible shows us and teaches us for praying in the Holy Spirit. In Jude, in the book of Jude, we read the words, Dear friends, build yourselves up in your most holy faith and pray in the Holy Spirit. So hopefully you can just catch this morning the vast variety of prayer. We're commended to pray and to join in this breadth of prayer. I can just say to sisters, to brothers, don't get stuck in a rut. Get excited in prayer. We must encourage each other and we must help each other to discover new things of prayer. That question I posed at the beginning. If God knows the future, then why pray? I've left it to the end for the simple reason, as we get encouraged and fired up and move forward in prayer, as is Jonathan's challenge to us, then the enemy will be about his work. And this question will come back and will knock on the door of each of our lives in some way. Why pray if God knows the future? Big word, which I can never remember every time I need to look it up in the dictionary. God is omniscient. I can't say it now. I could say it. Omniscient. Omniscient. God is omniscient. That means he knows everything, and we know that. Everything in history and everything in the future, it's at the heart of our Creator God. He knows all. Jesus, part of the Godhead, he came to earth to live as a person. He came pointing us to God, came showing us God's character, came, though he was the highest form of humanity, the zenith of humanity, he took on probably the limitations of human form. He had a full prayer life here on earth, and he continues in intercessory prayer here and now in heaven. He is our example. Why pray? Because Jesus showed us the importance of prayer. I can't stand here and give you an in-depth explanation of how prayer works. I can't do that. I don't think it's possible this side of heaven and this side of being in our Father's presence. God knows all things, but we are given this picture of prayer by Jesus through the Gospels. We are commanded to pray, and God promises to both hear us and answer us. We are invited and challenged as a people together to move forward in prayer. Amen. Let's pray together. Let's pray. Dear Lord and Father, thank you for one another, for the insights of prayer that we might have had through these minutes. Help us to do that next step, or whatever that might be. It's a step. All of us are individuals, but there's a step for us all to make. And may we make that promise here together for one another, that we will make that step. And so, being a people, move forward in prayer. Encourage us, lead us, guide us, we pray. Amen.